Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Chat of the Wild is a part of the Greenlit Podcast Network. To find out more information, as well as other great shows, go to greenlitpodcasts.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild. In this season, we are playing through The Legend of Zelda, The Phantom Hourglass. In our last episode, we collected the first of three medals that we need to put together the Spirit Sword. Phantom Sword.
The Phantom Sword. Yeah.
Phantom Sword.
Yes. Yeah. Well, maybe there'll be a Spirit Sword in the next game.
Oh.
Probably.
Yeah.
In our last episode, we talked about a few things here and there that we could do, and there was some stuff that I had mentioned, including Friedel. Did either of you meet Friedel yet?
Friedel.
Still no.
Where is
still
he?
Still no.
All right, let's go. We can get into this.
He's on Merkay Island, our first island still. And if you, what you have to do is, so this is weird. There is, if we go back with the arrow into the one little cracked cavern area.
Okay.
You go back to there. There's an eye to shoot. That opens up a bridge. That bridge then comes back outside. You hit a switch. It brings up one of those laser Moai heads. You can point it at a thing. Now, I only knew this because I saw it earlier, but I don't know if you have to do that. It points at a thing, a wall somewhere, that if you go to it and drop a bomb, it just breaks open. I don't know if you actually need to do that first part to break it open.
Okay.
But when you go into the other hidden cavern, you can go underneath the water and end up at the top right area of the map. And that's where Friedel is. What does Friedel do? Something that is useless to us because it is basically the pre-Street Pass thing that DS tried to do.
Okay.
Before it was able to just be always on with the 3DS. You can drop off items that you don't want, ship parts, treasures, into three little holes, three little hat box looking things. And if you come across somebody by playing with them, that will automatically like swap stuff with them.
Okay.
Huh.
If you do go back to him at a certain point, he will give you just a treasure map too. So if you want to get another
ship part.
Yeah. Go and do that. Okay. Are we trying anything with the ship parts? Cause for me, I just want to do the demon ship. That's all I want to do is demon ship.
I'm kind of into that too.
I changed up some of my parts, but then I realized that you had to have a complete set for it to have any sort of benefit. And I gave up. So
I tried to match up as many parts as I had, and I got an extra heart out of it on the ship. So I was like, I guess there's that. But yeah, I'm rocking the demon head on the front of the ship because that's just cool. I think I found a chimney recently, a demon chimney or something. But also when I went to the salesperson, who is problematic, I that was the only ship part that he wanted to even pay like remotely anything good for. So I could give up my demon face, but I like it too much.
Fair. Some other things that we can do is there's a few islands we can go to. There is an island called Harrow Island that if you go there, it's a little mini game where you can dig up holes in the ground and get treasure.
Yeah.
They make it very clear where they're just like, you can only dig 10 times, and if you dig more than 10 times, you get penalized. You can only dig up 10 treasures.
Mm-hmm.
You can dig as many times as you want, but if you go beyond that, you will be penalized, and it's like incremental how much you get penalized. If you do it once, you just lose like 100 rupees or something like that, but then if you do it a couple more times, it will just take all your rupees from you. And then the game will cost 300 rupees to play. And eventually, more treasure chests will show up on this island to get as rewards. So you don't want to try to break the rules. It's just like, it's not even like there's a risk reward kind of thing with this.
Yeah.
It's straight up just like, don't do it or we'll penalize you. It's like, why are you even letting me do it then? Like, it's just,
hey,
it's just upsetting.
Freedom, man. Just make your own choices. There's also a risk reward thing in the game itself, though. When you're digging stuff up, you can dig up like this ghost that's like, "Hey, you want to make some money?"
I didn't find him.
You didn't? Oh, I ran into him like twice. And you can give the spirit, whatever it is, the voice that's in the hole. I think you can pay it like 50 rupees, like, to play a game, and it's a, you pick between two things. One of them takes 100 rupees away, one of them gives you 200 rupees. So you make 50 rupees.
It's too much of a risk, man.
It's weird.
I don't like it. The other island that you can go check out is the DS Island.
Yeah.
Either of you find this?
Mm-hmm. I thought we didn't have to.
No. Okay. It's optional.
Okay. I thought we had to go see our Goron buddy first because he sent us a letter.
I didn't get his letter.
I didn't get that
not,
either.
Not yet. This is an island that looks like a giant DS. and straight up, if you go up onto it, there are even like spots where the speaker holes are.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like...
They've got a lot more money in there than they do at the Harrow Island.
Yeah. You can dig up a lot of dig spots. Sometimes you'll hit something. It'll be like, "Oh, what did I find? Bees!"
And
you'll get surrounded by bees, or snakes.
Bees and snakes. It's like we're in Sea Lab.
There's also some of those big, Cyclops bomb guys that you can take on. There's a treasure chest that you can get from them. I think it's just another.
Yeah.
I think it's just another treasure chart.
I forget what they gave me. Yeah, there's a lot more money to be had there than there is at, and a lot more goodies to get from the game.
So the game was not unlocked on my game yet.
Oh,
when I got there, the Goron said we're not ready yet.
Oh,
don't know why. Don't know what you did that I didn't.
I went there immediately after beating the Goron section.
Yeah, like
did
I said, BC and I
to,
did not get.
Did you talk
a
to the chief?
Either. I mean, yeah. I guess we should mention that too. We can't leave the island without talking to the chief.
Okay, all right.
If you try to leave the island, Ciela says, "Hey, what are you doing? You can't just steal this metal. It's a precious metal for the Gorons."
Oh yeah, I tried to do that.
You go back, and then and it's funny. You go back, and their chief is just like, "Yeah, it's cool. It's yours. Also, here's some rupees for you.
Here's a couple C notes.
It's time for you to leave now."
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Get off our island. But visit the shop on your way out. Visit the shop.
Right. I got my bomb chew upgrade there.
I was just saying that the chief was being like, you know, hey, visit the shop on your way off our island, but get off our island.
Keep the economy going.
Spend some money.
I did go to the Spirit Island and upgraded one of my fairies. I upgraded my red fairy. So now I have a fire sword, which I think does a bit. It doesn't specifically say, but I think it does more damage.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm taking out enemies quicker.
Yeah.
It's on fire. That's cool.
That's the only one I still have. I haven't been able to get another one yet. I thought maybe through the course of this episode, I'd be able to get a second upgrade, or at least one of them to their first upgrade, and so far, no.
Yeah, you need 10 for one and 20 for the other, and I'm going to guess... There's only 20 in the world for each of these.
I'm wondering, it didn't seem like, I figured there'd be like 25, because even with stuff like the seashell sword in Link's Awakening, like, they gave you more shells than you actually needed to get the sword. So I was thinking maybe they would give us a little extra, but I don't know.
Was there anything else that you guys did on the side besides going to the main island?
I tried to go back to Merkay because I just assumed we were going back to the temple.
Going in, the way people talked about it, I thought it was going to be a thing every single time. And I think you can. I think, like, we do have some new items that we didn't have before, like with the bomb chew, that could get us to some things there. Because I know there's, like, spirit orbs down there that you can find. So that, you know, that's worth doing. Or cutting down your time so that you can teleport quicker.
Next time, yeah.
But, yeah, I'm not sure. They haven't said. I've just been doing exactly what they've been telling me to do, and they have not said to go back there, so I didn't.
Yeah.
I think I just had it ingrained in my mind that we were always going back there, that we had to get a new chart or a new map or something, and we didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to guess probably after we get the final medal, then they're going to be like, we need one more. No, I guess we won't know. Yeah, it's probably going to be after this episode.
So
we'll have to go back, right?
So I think the other reason we go down into the temple is to get new pieces to the C chart. So in order to get the final corner after this episode, we're probably going to have to go back there to get that. And then we'll keep going. But yeah, I went back. And while I was on Merkay Island, I was like, I should double check a walkthrough just to make sure I have to be here. But while I was there, I sold a bunch of stuff that, you know, I've got a ton of money now, which before was a thing. I felt like I was, you know, engaging with the economy and was running out of money, you know, pretty easily. But now, like, I'm loaded and I need more stuff to spend it on.
The shop on Merkay does have a heart container.
Yeah, I got
that. If you want that, it's 2000, so there's something to burn that on. Yeah, well, because I know, I haven't seen him, but I know there's like a legendary beetle shop that will rarely show up. He's got the gold helmet on and all that stuff on his little icon. But I haven't seen him yet. But if I go to a regular beetle shop, there's nothing worth, there's bombs and arrows, and that's it. Probably bomb chews now. But that's it.
And some ship parts.
I haven't been paying attention in the shops. Where do you buy potions? Because like this section was the first time I used a potion. So like I was like, oh, where did I even get this in the first place?
You can get them at, I think, pretty much any kind of shop.
I think Beetle has them too. But I usually go to the shops that are in town to the girl. Because, so the one on Goron Island has the fairy potion, basically. It's the yellow one the purple one. Is it the purple one? What I roll with a purple and a yellow. One of them does hella hearts, but you have to do it yourself. The other one will revive you if you die. The revival one's on the Goron shop, on Goron Island.
I hate navigating the menu to use, because you can't like pause the game. If you press pause, it says save and quit or cancel. It's like you can't just pause the game to be like bring up the menu. I don't know why this isn't an MMO. There's no reason for us not to be able to pause the game and look at our menu, but they just make us do that. And like I don't understand
that brings up your item screen, right?
Possibly. But I want to say on mine, because I'm holding it with my left hand, I can't easily reach that.
Yeah, no, it hitting select will bring up your fish journal. The items that you have, you can't actually equip any of them, it doesn't look like, and your treasure and ship parts inventory.
Useful, so useful. So I need to get that potion that does it automatically.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've still just been running with red.
It'll fill up a 8 hearts, and then the other one does massive heart reclamation.
Anyway, let's go ahead and talk about this island that we go to. Once we get there, it is, you can even see on your map, it's surrounded by white. As we get closer, it's obvious ice. We get there and it starts a little, I don't know, we'll just call it a mini game, a little section where it changes, where we're told, draw a circle around here. And it's just like, just do the circle yourself, man. Why do I have to? You've done this before.
I just did a mini game where I finally did the bomb mini game, and he drives the ship for you during the bomb mini game. Come on, man.
Yeah. Jeremy, you call it a mini game. I call it a disappointment.
Hey, I hesitated. Just to be clear, I was like, I don't know what else to call this. It's a thing that happens where they change how we do stuff slightly.
It's an instance.
We're shoehorned into doing this interaction in a specific way that they want us to do it.
Yeah. I just think it's a bummer because, like, when this has happened in the past, we had a boss. Maybe they weren't, like, the most, you know, excellent of bosses, but, you know, there was a sea monster we fought, and now mm-hmm. it's just, like, circle this island and tap mindlessly.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. I thought we were going to have to go get something because it's like it's an ice island, but they're just like, no, you got bombs, kid. Let's go.
Put yourself back into, what, 2007, right? When this came out. And the technology that we had, and we're looking at this, and you see this giant shell of ice in this game you're playing, and you're shooting bombs at it, and it just comes crashing down around you. That might be kind of cool for that time. Here in 2021, not so much.
It's terrifying.
True.
When we're talking about we're going to destroy these glaciers and watch them sink into the ocean, it's like, man, we're trying to avoid that from happening.
This hurts. This hurts.
But this is what we are supposed to do to unlock this island here.
And step right into a really weird class, race, warfare thing going on here.
Now, we in this episode, after we get through this dungeon, so I don't know if we follow up with what's going on, but this is so suspicious. The whole time
weird.
We're there.
Mm-hmm.
And there
way,
are some things that happen.
No. No.
Okay, so...
No.
We are on the
it's
Isle
bad.
Of Frost. And when we get there, we are introduced to a completely new race. One that, I don't know, maybe this shows up in Spirit Tracks.
I think
but does not show
do...
up in any other one.
But yeah, you're right. These are new.
These are the Anuki.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I don't know, they look like cartoon versions of, like, Inuits, but with antlers, I guess.
Animals? They're like deer?
They are creatures, but they look like they're wearing, like, a big hood with, like the fur around the face. Like a parka kind of thing. But we are on an ice island. They live in these, like, ice huts.
And they tell us flat out, like, these are the traits of our Zelda race. We have a reputation for sensitive hearts and refined speech. Because, you know, that's what we're all about.
We get there, and we are, without being asked, given the history of this island, and that is that there was a war between two different races, and the result was that they decided that one race was going to live on one side of the island, and the other was going to live on the other. And somewhere along the lines, they also decided that that other race are nothing but liars, and it's like they needed to make that point across.
They definitely do. How long had this island been surrounded by ice? Like, these people have been isolated.
Ha ha!
Yeah.
And so this idea of civilization, like, is this all they've known? They've just been stuck here doing this for hundreds of years? What?
Yeah, and they seem, like, surprised that you came from beyond the ice. And then they also kind of do... the Goron thing where they add something onto your name and then you're like, no, that's not my name. And they're like, okay, if you say so.
Yeah, the Gorons are cool. We'll play along with them. But we meet these guys and they're putting another thing on our name and we're like, no, we're not cool that way, man. Like, you can't call me that.
Although if they had added a T to the end of the thing they added to my name, it would have been I farted about and I would have been into that.
Anyway, we walk around, and if you talk to like anybody here, they're just like, you're looking for some kind of rock, I don't know. And it's like, that's it. You won't even get like, you know, other islands you talk to and they say like, oh, you're looking for this thing? I'm not sure. Maybe this person knows about it. There is a person that says like, our elder knows, but the majority of everyone else is just like, I don't have anything for you. And that's it. That is the beginning and end of their interaction with us.
There's a few of them that have these really long dialogue trees that end up, like, one of them you can just scare the crap out of them because you can prey on their racist fear and to a point to where they are just incapacitated.
Right. They talk about their, okay, when we eventually do talk to the elder brings up about like, oh, this is, we have a problem right now. One of the Yuki has snuck in just, to our side of the island.
Just Yuke.
Is it Yuke?
Just four letters. Yuke.
Anuki and Yuke. Yes. Those are the two races on this island. And they snuck in and were freaking out and they're impersonating one of our people. So we have to play my least favorite game, the liar and truth teller puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Though, to be honest, this one I actually figured out pretty quick. It did help. Honestly, the ability to write notes on here helped me out a lot more than other games where, I mean, to be fair, I could have just got a pencil and paper out and like drawn some things out here. But I was able to figure it out a bit quicker on here. Did any of you guys go talk to these people before you had to start this
no.
investigation?
No, I talked about everyone else before going in there.
If you talk to any of them, they say the exact same thing. Don't steal stuff from other people's drawers. Not that I have anything in them. And that's all that every single one says that. There's like a slight variation of that, but it's the same thing of you saying, don't steal from anybody. I don't have anything. And that's it. And it's unprompted. You just go up and talk to them, and that's all they all say.
These people are weird.
They're very bizarre.
This is like some Pleasantville nightmare town. Like,
right.
they're all identical houses on the same, you know, subdivision, and it's just giving me the jibbies.
They talk about basically, let's just be honest, they talk about how they're like the supreme race on this island and the others.
Well, obviously, though, they have refined speech and sensitive hearts.
Maybe there was going to be a deeper discussion here, but to be fair, when we go interact with the Yuke, they do act like every other monster we interact with in this game.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say about like us and like who we are navigating this world? I don't know, but I think maybe there was a point where they wanted to have more of a discussion and someone says like, we're not going there, man. Just, it's a monster and they're going to fight it.
Well, I feel like Ciela even said something about when we were talking to the chief, I thought she said something too. I don't know if he's telling the truth, but we need this medal.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so during this entire dungeon, I was uncomfortably waiting for the plot twist.
Yes.
Shady deals, man. Like, yeah, the whole time, you know, when we get to the dungeon, I had my mind on other things, but beforehand I was thinking like, okay, we're going to, yeah, we do this. We find that. Did either of you guys have problems figuring out who was the imposter?
Yeah. I mean, writing notes
guessed,
on the screen's fun.
And I got it the second time.
Oh,
oh, okay. Okay.
I went to talk to each person to see what they said and just happened to get to the imposter last. I was like, well, I've talked to everybody else. It's pretty much you, buddy. And let's see what you have to say. And like they contradicted, you know, two or three of the people. And I was like, yep. Okay, cool. All right.
Yeah. Okay. So here's what I thought might've been going on. Cause when we reveal who it is, what they do is they blow us out of the hut.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're freaking out. We're just like, what happened? They blew us out of the hut. What are we going to do? They're going to get away. Well, let's go tell the elder. In my mind, I thought we were going to be getting something where like they are all those creatures and they are only impersonating to look like these nice, cuddly people to get you on their side. Because when you go and talk to the elder says, like, oh, he did what to you? You probably want revenge now, don't you?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and attack them over there? And in my mind, it was going to be that they all look like that creature. This side only wants to look like that, and they're trying to weaponize us to fight the other side. Now, we get to the other side, and it's just a dungeon. It's not like there's another town.
He's still weaponized,
like some other things
us,
going
though.
On. They still did, but to be fair, we were going to do that even if they didn't tell us to go there.
I mean, yeah, because we have to get through doors.
We got to get that medal. We decided already.
And the thing that's awkward about it is, if you accuse the wrong person, it's this extended dialogue where you keep accusing them over and over, and then they freak out. And then Anuki freaks out, if you go and talk to any of the others, they just call you Mr. Wrong, and they're like, you're such an idiot. I can't believe you're so wrong. Don't talk to me. I don't want people to think I'm a monster since you're so wrong all the time. And then you have to go back.
But you are a monster.
You have to go back to the chief, who is a jerk to you at that point. And that resets the puzzle so you can ask again. But what's awkward is that the Yook you meet in the beginning is... like different. He's like a different color, different size, I think, than the other ones. So you go over and you fight all these Yooks in the snowfield, and then you fight the Yook that you initially met. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, when we got to that moment, it was going to be the thing where he's like, I was just trying to feed my family, man, and you killed them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 And then we're going to work with them or something, right? Like, yeah. Zelda games have done something like this where they try to subvert what we thought was going to happen by, like, taking something cute and then suddenly making it evil. Like, Pol's voice, you know? Like, they have done stuff like this where, and, you know, we had in Twilight Princess, the abominable snowman's wife or whatever, you know, she turns evil. She looked real cute and all that. And then we had to fight her. And it's like, we've done stuff like this before. And Brian, what you're saying is that when we get done with this level, it's just like, you can leave. There's probably a weird interaction we have with the elder, I'm sure.
They're like, what? What leave. Do you want? What? I'm like, I mean, last time I left, I talked to the guy. So I go talk to the guy and he's like, You did what I needed you to do. Like, what do you want from me?
Yeah.
I got nothing for you. It's crazy. I wonder if it just got too real. Like, they had this story going, and like, this just got like, they looked across, you know, the sea, and they're like, we made a Korean Peninsula situation. Like, this just got real, and why don't we just make it, no, these are just bad guys, and we'll just keep a weird story of find the liar, and hopefully no one will like really think about how messed up this gets.
Yeah, and we don't know if there was some, maybe the Japanese version, the original version, said some things a little bit different that we're reading either the wrong way, that maybe it was more simple than what we're seeing. Someone wanted to get a little creative with it, but they didn't actually get the opportunity to follow through with it.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
I mean, it's either that, or it's like, you know, the island of Hokkaido, where the indigenous people lived for a long time. So either way, this is just bad. This is a bad look, no matter what.
Anytime we try to relate this to reality and the horrible things that humans do to each other, it's just bad.
But like,
it's just bad in general.
But what do you expect?
Like, we don't need to keep talking about it.
Set up awfully. This is just really bad, Nintendo. You just come on.
I felt uncomfortable the whole dungeon. Entire dungeon.
Yes. But before we get into the dungeon, let's go ahead and take a break. Take a breather.
Yeah.
Let's relax. Let's just get this out of our mind. And when we get back, we're going to play a Zelda dungeon, okay? And there's not going to be any weird story stuff for the time that we're in there, okay?
On the Super Nintendad's Entertainment Podcast, catch us grumbling about the news every Monday on the Morning Dadcast, chatting with industry professionals, and most importantly, teaching our kids just how incredible or horrible 80s and 90s video game and pop culture truly was.
All right, what else you got?
A Sega Slingshot.
Don't have a cow, man.
The blast processing was really fast. Why can Knuckles fly even?
Tide prawn dough.
What does that even mean?
Samurai pizza cats. Gabe, we almost named you Guido Anchovy.
Doing a Belvedere
requires a set of low hangers.
I'm gonna die.
Right here on Greenlit.
This is Snake.
Hey, Snake, it's Sam.
Who are you?
Sam, from the brand new PlayStation podcast, Polygon Symphonies.
Is that so?
Yeah, it's a podcast that's exploring the PlayStation library.
Impossible.
Well, not really. Each week, we take a game, play it, and then we rank it in our grand list of games.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's available on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I didn't mean to sound sarcastic.
That's okay. Just check out Polygon Symphonies, the PlayStation podcast from the Greenlit Network.
All right. We are now ready to go into the Temple of Ice. Before we go into there, there is a thing blocking us where we have to go and take out seven guardians that were blocking the entrance to this. Whatever. It's real windy too. It's just annoying. But that's not going to be the most annoying thing in this whole thing because here, all right, I'm just going to say this real quick. This dungeon is the smartest and most interesting dungeon in this game so far. And it still sucks.
Yes.
Because
yes,
it's an ice dungeon that we needlessly slide around on. And I lost most of my hearts just trying to not fall and still falling because if you try to turn quickly, Link just slashes his sword instead.
I hope that whoever thought that controlling in ice, like walking through an ice dungeon with stylus controls was a good idea, was publicly reprimanded. Mm-hmm. Like, this makes no sense. Timed puzzles plus an ice dungeon plus stylus controls is insane.
And I generally like controlling this game with the stylus. I had I was trying to think of it the entire time we've been playing through this. I had this recollection of I tried to play the game through my first time through in a certain way. And I remembered it was using none of the buttons. I only used the stylus because I was like, I just want to see if I can do it. And it's a little bit easier with the buttons, but yeah, I did it. So whatever. But controlling in the ice cavern in Minish Cap was fun for me. Like I got pretty good at it. You could kind of curve your way around things. The controls were tight. This is awful. It's bad. It just sucks doing it with the ice and the stylus. It just sucks.
So, like I said, there are some things in here that I thought this is the best dungeon in terms of the puzzles that they have us do and the ways that we like interact with the environment and things like that. But the floor is slick the whole time. If the floor wasn't slick, I would have actually enjoyed my time with this dungeon. I would have actually been in here and been like, this is what it was all leading towards. I loved this dungeon so much. But it was infuriating having to just constantly deal with Link sliding around and trying to adjust it and it putting you onto these narrow paths that made it just real hard that you had to just already be going in a straight line and, you know, don't swing your sword at any enemies while you're doing that because you might throw yourself off. And fortunately, because I had my fire sword, I'm able to take care of these like ice bubbles or whatever, like,
oh,
really easily.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, it's just I can just swing my sword.
Okay, yeah, because I could kill him with a sword swing. I didn't even think about that. I was like, oh, that's cool. That I can do that, but I didn't know why.
Yeah,
you don't have to boomerang them.
You have no idea how many arrows I wasted trying to shoot those things.
Ooh,
but yeah, I just get the boomerang out and draw a bunch of scribbles around the area that they're flying.
So we get into this dungeon. The first thing we have to do is you go into there and you've got the red and blue switch thing and you got to throw your boomerang around and then like eventually you circle back around and use a bomb chew at it. And I'm like, this is good design. This is great. Then we get to the slick floors and I'm just like, why? It does the best things in this that the game has done so far, utilizing everything that we've learned up to this point. You have to keep in mind what level you're at in order to hit a switch mm-hmm. off in the distance. They even do, so we didn't mention this before. I don't know if either of you guys saw it, but if you do go and talk to one of the Inuki somewhere, they will say, I dare you to go and jump on top of this pole here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it was showing you that you can jump on top of those poles that we've been seeing. I haven't interacted with those at all since I've since I've seen them.
Oh, I jumped on. I knew from the first or second time we went into the Sea King's dungeon, just because I was like, what does this do?
Mm-hmm. I totally forgot about that.
We end up getting a room with four pole switches that you have to find, like, the four stones that say it. And they even do something different where they say, like, the third one that you pull is due north from here. So that makes you, like, you want to draw a line due north from where mm-hmm. you're at to be like, this is the one. It's not just, like, you show up and it says, like, 3124 or something like that. It does it differently. It says things in a different way. And it's like, okay, good. That's interesting. It's mixing it up.
And there was only one puzzle like that where it's like, you got to get your map out and start writing down. There was another one with switches. They were like, hit the switches in this order. But mm-hmm. there were just four of them. And I could be like, okay, I didn't have to run to another room to do it. It was in the same room pretty much. So I could just do that. So there was like kind of two, I guess, but really only one that you needed to scour the whole room, which I like that, because it was one room. It was like, figure out how you're going to get around this entire room to get to all the different corners and stuff to solve this one puzzle over here. There's another room later where you have to do each section like in order to get through it. But this one was just kind of laid out and open almost.
The item that we get in here, now at first I was like, ah, boy, because I didn't like this item in Wind Waker, but it is the grapple hook.
Mm-hmm.
And this, honestly, is impressive to me because it has multiple uses and it actually like makes you have to think things in a certain way. And this is one that they use it every way that you can in this dungeon, and then even does it in really interesting ways in the boss battle.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to that. But the things you can do with this is you can basically pull it out, pull yourself towards whatever you want. You can grapple onto treasure chests, you can grapple onto torches, and you can grapple onto those posts.
Mm-hmm.
So you have options for those things there. The other cool thing that you can do is you can select two different ones and throw it and make a line between the two that you can walk across.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only can you walk across that, you can slingshot yourself off of it. And it's awesome. It is awesome.
And not only can you do that, you can bounce arrows off of it. And you can also, in addition to drawing a line between two points, two static points, you can draw a line between a static point and an enemy. Doesn't mm-hmm. really do much that I could see, but you can do it. And it is useful for the boss fight.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they teach you that you can shoot arrows is also a genius puzzle, in my opinion.
Okay, so, like, so for the eyes. Okay, see, because they didn't teach you, you just kind of had to figure it out, because I was sitting
that
there
is
going,
the teach. That's okay. That's the tutorial I want.
Okay.
I don't want everything to pause and Ciela go, hey, did you know that you can do this stuff here?
I'm not saying that's what I need, but I just didn't, there was nothing contextual in the room other than these eyes will close if you look at them. And so I couldn't, I don't know, like with the, what was the seed shooter, it would bounce off of stuff, but you learn that by just shooting the seed shooter and stuff. So I don't know.
If this game ran, and I'm going to say this in a weird way, if this game ran slower, not to say like the frame rate or anything, but if you could be more tactical in this game, you know,
mm-hmm.
if enemies just moved a little bit differently where it took a different angle to be like, we are going to make every interaction more of a puzzle that you have to figure out. That could have been so cool. Like, because that's what they do in this dungeon after you get the grapple hook. And I loved it, but then I had to walk on the ice floor again.
I also think this grapple hook should have been the third item. Like, because this really gets going. When we get the grappling hook and all the puzzles that they're throwing out, the game really starts picking up with, I think the puzzles start picking up. Like, I'm having a lot more fun. And with the bomb chew stuff, it was cool to have to think about like where to route it. But once I got out of there, I'm like, I don't need these. I want the grappling hook.
One weird thing, though, and this has more to do with the design, has to do with the restrictions of what you can show on the DS. I could not, for the life of me, tell what those statues were supposed to be when we got into there. And then it wasn't until I was like, I don't know, these are weird. Maybe I'll shoot my grapple hook at them. Oh, it lights up. Yeah, I can pull it. Oh, that's their tongue?
Yeah.
Like, I could not tell what that thing was by the design.
Yeah, it tells you, because in the due north puzzle with the four levers, it says the third lever you pull, or the last lever you pull or something is, maybe second lever you pull is beneath
in
the
front
tongue.
Of the, yeah, and I mm-hmm. still didn't piece it together then for whatever reason. Like, it was like tongue, I don't know. Their tongue must have some other meaning that I'm not familiar with.
It's architectural.
It's like when I learned the word hilt through.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I didn't know what hilt was, and this one I'm like, maybe tongue has a different meaning, and they're using it in a weird way, like sidle and all that stuff, you know?
Sidle. They're barely, like, just reminiscent enough of the ones that were in A Link to the Past that I was like, oh, okay, yep, that's what, all right, we'll pull on those tongues at some point.
Interesting thing you could do with the tongues is that you can actually like throw it pretty far, your grapple hook, but you have to like keep that in mind. Like if you're trying to do the two tether thing, you need to make sure you tether first the thing that's furthest away from you, because just the way the camera works. But you can also get pretty far from one of those tongues, throw your grapple hook, and just yank that thing for a mile.
Yeah.
Because some of them are timed, where once you do that, they will start to retract and you have to get to a certain area.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to pull that as far as you can. And that actually lets you go pretty far on that stuff.
Yeah. And I like that angle of it. We had something like that in Twilight Princess where we had to, I think it was in the prison, where we had to move a bunch of things out of the way so that we could pull the chain the longest possible mm-hmm. Amount to get through the puzzle.
So, now that you say this, I didn't realize, I knew you could stop pulling the tongues early, but I didn't realize that the distance you were affected how long it went, because mm-hmm. I kept pulling the same tongue from the same distance. but that would have been good to know, because there's a section in this dungeon that made me curse Zelda from the bottom of my heart.
So I'm going to say this. We probably all, BC and I probably screwed it up differently, because I know which one you're talking about. There is a big puzzle room that you have to pull one of the tongue switches and it opens a door. And then you need to grapple hook your way around to all these different points.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, in my head, the only way to get across was to tether those two points.
Oh, no.
And so I was taking so long to get through there to be like, why? Like, it's impossible. It's literally impossible. What am I missing here? Is there a switch that makes this shorter? And then eventually I even looked it up. I was like, there's gotta be a switch in here. There's a spot where there were two lanterns where I was like, this is where a treasure chest appears or something is going to happen right here. And then I was like, I just need to look this up. There's something going on. I felt like such an idiot. Cause I'm like,
hookshot,
I
Jeremy.
I was.
Use your
but I was
shot.
Doing it in the wrong way. they gave me too many different ways to use it, and I used it the wrong way.
Yeah, so I did not have that problem. There's one, the first gap you have to walk across, but I knew I had to run, so I stood so that I could just immediately run directly to the right. So I guess I could have walked further away and pulled the tongue farther, but the problem is that the route you have to take is all like, oh, extend your hookshot to the end of the screen mm-hmm. to this thing that you can barely see mm-hmm. and when you start getting to the edge of the screen between the UI and the DS and everything else, things start getting iffy at best.
Yeah.
So like, the heads up display gets in your way.
Yeah. And so there were times where I'm like, tether, tether, tether. And then you're also trying to like tether, like walk a little bit and then tether as you're sliding. And a big problem I also had is that I've been using the left bumper, the left trigger to to activate your items. And with the grappling hook, if you do not hold the left bumper the entire time, you will stop using the grappling hook.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're in the middle of grappling to something and it's made it halfway through the animation, you let go, it just starts you right back at the beginning.
It's like the boomerang, but extended. Because once you let the boomerang go, it just goes and you don't have to worry about the shoulder button anymore. But, yeah.
But they needed to just let you toggle, right? Like, other games let you toggle. Do you hold or do you tap, right? Like,
if you tap the screen...
But that's not what I want. That's not what I want.
Right. I'm not giving you that. Toggle, but with the shoulder button, no.
Yeah.
Maybe there's an option. I just didn't see it or something, but I don't know.
We go through all that. Then there's an area where we do get introduced to the slingshot aspect of this, where they say, like, in order to there's a rock that you can read that says, like, did you know that you can actually launch yourself by, you know, tethering two points together? Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I got to try this. And
I was like, get out.
And
no.
It does this jump in the air for you.
That was so cool.
We come across an area that you have to do that a couple different... You do that into one area to, like, launch yourself up onto a thing. And you have to jump on the top of it.
Because before they tell you... Yeah, they tell you, like, hey, you can use this to get across a gap. But then in that room, they don't tell you. And you're looking at it. And they kind of put the two spaces, the two floor tiles in front of it are off color to kind of give you a little bit of an idea. But, it launches you up to a floor above, a level up. That was so cool.
Yeah, it's great. And there's a part where you do have to use your grapple hook.
Yeah.
You have to use your grapple hook on this sort of pyramid looking small area that you have to jump onto the top of one of the pegs to be on the next level to then pull yourself up to the next one. And it just felt good. It was like, you know, that was something where they were like, yeah, if this was on the 3DS, they would have loved the 3D depth of it and all this stuff. But even on the DS, it looked good and it was fun.
We've talked about item switching before and how kind of a pain it is, but like, when you're moving around you're not switching between items, you just have the one item out, it feels pretty good, especially with the grappling hook, to just like kind of run around, grab the things you want. Like it feels fluid.
Yeah, we didn't even mention you can hit enemies with the stuff too.
Yeah.
We've got a new different type of enemy that's similar to the old ones where they have like a metal thing on their face. These are like ants.
Yeah.
And they have like a lock on their face.
Was it not a shield? I thought it was a shield, but I didn't look too hard at it.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but the same kind of thing is that
face
you pull it off.
Mask or something. A mask.
But you can use this to attack a lot of enemies too. So it will probably be my default item for a while now.
Hell yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, I was like, I enjoy running around with the boomerang, but this now I've got my new friend now.
So let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and talk about the boss now, because I think we covered pretty much everything in the dungeon.
Once again, the dungeon was
great, except for the slippery floors, man. Like, I gotta say it one more time.
One more criticism of the dungeon: it does the same thing that like every dungeon in this game is done, where the mini boss is just two regular enemies in a room.
I don't even count them as mini bosses.
Yeah, no.
I just say this game doesn't have mini bosses.
Yeah.
They're set up like mini boss rooms.
Oh, yeah. They are set up like, here, you got to fight. But it's not... They do it multiple times in dungeons, though. Like, and not mini boss... they're not mini boss fights. They're just... They're ostensibly set... Here's a room with a fight that's going to happen. But then it's just going to open a door over here and... This, you know, we had one of them that did give us the grappling hook after one of those fights. But when we got in here, the guy outside that was a different color than all the other ones that talked to us, just became a, now he's a new rank of difficulty. It doesn't really matter. That's gone too.
No. The fights have, like, the fights have become so easy with my new sword too. Like, taking out enemies, because we didn't even talk about with these guys, they are basically upright Dodongos.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They will inhale, and you toss a bomb at them, and that stuns them, and then you hit them with your sword.
And then the next level up will sometimes hit you instead of inhaling. And
yeah, he'll swing
most,
on you.
Yeah, yeah, the most difficult one will swing more often than inhaling.
Anything else before we get to the boss?
The boss key, still nothing. Just like, hey,
a
head
little
up these
bit
stairs.
Further.
Head
yeah,
up these
a
stairs,
little bit
man.
Further. But
yeah,
that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right.
We get into the boss room. This is where we are reacquainted with Gleok.
Yay.
A
always
classic.
A fan favorite.
That was the first. Was he the first
boss?
Nah,
that's Aquamentus.
Aquamentus. Okay.
Gleok is the best fight in Minish Cap, though. That's the one with his head becomes a bridge in the lava pit.
Yes.
That's a good one. That's a good one. And then you have to like use his BC. Yeah, you have to use his neck to get across to Little Gem and whack, 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 whack.
It's pretty cool.
It's a good fight.
And this boss, BC, why don't you walk us through the strategies of fighting Gleok?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much, you just are, like, you walk into the room, there's four of those tether poles that you've seen throughout the dungeon, and you've got Gleok on the top screen and chucking fire and ice balls. And so the idea is you want to make a diagonal rope to bounce the attack from one side over to hit the other. So if the fire side is shooting at you, you bounce the fireball to shoot the other side. And if the ice side is shooting at you, you bounce the ice ball to shoot the fire side. And there's not much, like, you don't have to make it perfect. Like, the fireballs all go in the same direction. Right. So anytime, as long as you have the rope up, when it gets there, you're going to hit the other side. And then right after one shoots a fireball, the other will, or right after one shoots a fireball, it'll come in to attack and bite at you.
Bite at you, get rid of your rope. If you don't set the rope up correctly, it will block the other one, or the other one will block. I guess the other one blocks its face and it just says, nope, that didn't work. But I thought it was the other one rushing in to, like, stop the energy beam from hitting its friend.
That's what it looks like. It looks like it's, like, trying to rush in to, like, take the hit. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Doesn't happen that way.
Yeah, and then after you do it, like, you crack them a little bit, then they'll go in and they cause a tidal wave.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to, like, jump up on top of one of the poles to avoid, which I thought was cool. But then when they did the like, ice things came at you,
mm-hmm.
I was just like, it was too frantic for me to try to, like, make a tether across. So I just, like, would jump off of it. Can you not do that?
You can't tether across when it's underwater.
Yeah, if you're standing on top of it, you can't tether it. If you're standing in the water, because you can hop off and get in the water, and then it's kind of like when the wind's blowing, you have a current against you, mm-hmm. and you have to dodge these little ice blocks the whole time. But yeah, if you do it beforehand, you can set up a tether bridge before the water rushes in.
Okay.
I didn't even realize that. Like, the first few times I got hit by the icebergs, because I thought there was something I was supposed to be doing on top of the poles.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I was just standing in one spot, so all the icebergs came directly at me.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until I jumped off, I was like, oh, I can move around. But in my head, I was like, if I touch the water, I'll immediately die. So.
Yeah, the second time I hopped off, because I tried to set up the tether bridge, I was like, okay, this time I know what's going on, so let's do it. And it didn't work. But then, so I was like, I should see if I can at least run around in the water and dodge these. And that ended up being that, yeah, it worked out.
I lost a lot of health in this battle, but I'm not mad about it. Yeah. I love this battle.
It was
this
fun.
This is when I use my my potion. But yeah, good boss fight.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah. The last phase, so after we crack their skull face thing that they, you know, or I guess it's like a stone helmet that they're wearing.
Yeah, their mask. Yeah.
When we have our final phase with them, they will come down to us and snap at us. Really easy to dodge. Like, I didn't have much of a problem dodging them.
Just keep moving.
Yeah, you just basically like keep on the outskirts of it. And then the last thing they'll do is they'll start to like charge up a thing, and their tongue will be out. They got some weird looking tongues. And what you can do is you tether that tongue to one of the poles, and that immediately just makes them like hit their head on the ground and, you know, stuns them for a minute, and you can just wail on them. And BC, get that sword power up, man, because like this, I felt bad about how slow it went, or how quick it went for me. Because it was just like, I wanted more. Give me a third phase on this or something, man. This is great. Keep this going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a good battle. I am getting that sword power up though. Definitely need to make that happen. I was wondering if there was going to be some, like, they resurrect at the end, like we had with, Dongoro, or Don Durango, whatever the Dongo's name is.
Dodonga, Dongaranga.
Yeah. Dongaranga. I was wondering if, like, you know, we were going to start walking towards, like, the big door, and then they just pop up at the end, which would have been cool.
But... Mm-hmm. I think for some reason...
I would have... Go ahead.
Oh, I think just for whatever reason, like... those bosses, we can see them coming now because you just get that feeling like this isn't over, or that was it, or whatever. But at the end of this, the feeling I had of wanting more wasn't also met with that didn't seem like that was the end. Like, I got to the end of it, was like, that was awesome, that was it. Like, I wasn't expecting there to be a turn, because I just felt like there was some finality to the awesomeness of that.
I only felt unfulfilled because this is like the best dungeon and boss fight in this game so far.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
and
the,
like,
other boss fights have been great too. Like, this has some of the best
good.
Boss fights.
They've been interesting, but like this one, I actually like actively enjoyed playing it, as opposed to being like, you know, I can just take a step back and be like, oh, that was an interesting design that they did. I was like, no, I actually had fun fighting this boss here.
I think one other benefit to just stylus controls for attacking is this is the easiest it's ever been to pop off like four spin attacks in a row and just do massive damage. And you do get the dizzy thing too, but if you're standing next to like a block or one of the posts, that... it hits the post and does like enough of a stagger to your animation that you don't get dizzy. And so I just sat there and spun and spun and spun until, you know, they picked their head back up or went away or whatever, and just got so much damage on it.
So we do all that. We beat him. We say goodbye. We will miss you. Very much. I'm sure we'll see you later.
We'll see Cleoc again. That would be fun. Sure. See, they should start doing that in the next Breath of the Wild games. Instead of putting these really, you know, the same powerful enemies all over the map, like, start grabbing different Zelda 1 bosses and throwing them all over the map.
I don't want to talk too much about Breath of the Wild on this one, but man, you are so right. I would love that so
just
much.
Just like 40 Cleoc spread all over the map. I would lose my mind.
Anyway, we get our Azurine, the stone that we were looking for, and, you know, we wrap it up. We're going to leave the dungeon now. This is where we're going to wrap the episode up. Like we said, the story we were given beforehand, if you had any sort of idea of where this was going to go, according to Brian, it doesn't. Don't worry about it. Just move
get
on.
Get in your boat.
Move on with your life.
Try not to think about it every day.
Forget the war crimes you've committed.
Yeah.
the things we do.
We can't get away from the child soldier narrative in the sequel.
Nope. Anyways, for the next episode, we are going to go to Muto's temple, the last temple to get the last stone. I can't tell you, we will have to go back to the Temple of the Ocean King to get a map, all that stuff. Just a little hint there, I guess. So go do all that stuff. Meet back here, and we'll talk about it on Shadow of the Wild.